Chapter 13. Wondered more and more. He came forward till he, like myself, was about 20 yards from the edge. I instinctively grasped my useless stiletto. How I longed for the assistance which a little earlier I had so much despised. Reaching the block or boulder upon which I had been sitting, he clasped his arms around from behind. His hands closed upon the empty seat, and he jumped up with an oath. This method of attack told me a new thing with wretched distinctness. He had, as I suppose, discovered my sex. Male attire was to serve my turn no longer. The next instant, indeed, made it clear, for he exclaimed, "You don't escape me, masquerading madam," or some such words, and came on. My only hope was that in his excitement he might forget to notice where the grass terminated near the edge of the cliff, though this could be easily felt by a careful walker. To make my own feeling more distinct on this point, I hastily bared my feet. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the listeners moistened their lips, Ethelberta took breath, and then went on to describe the scene that ensued, a dreadful variation on the game of blindman's buff, apostrophe being the words by which she characterized it. Ethelberta's manner had become so impassioned at this point that the lips of her audience parted, the children clung to their elders, and Christopher could control himself no longer. He thrust aside the boughs, and broke in upon the group. "For heaven's sake, Ethelberta, apostrophe," he exclaimed with great excitement, "where did you meet with such a terrible experience as that?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," the children shrieked, as if they thought that the interruption was in some way the catastrophe of the events in course of narration. Everyone started up. The two young mechanics stared, and one of them inquired, in return, "What's the matter, friend?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Christopher had not yet made reply, when Ethelberta stepped from her pedestal down upon the crackling carpet of deep leaves. "Apostrophe, Mr. Julian. Apostrophe, apostrophe," said she, in a serene voice, turning upon him eyes of such a disputable stage of color, between brown and gray, as would have commended itself to a gallant duelist of the last century as a point on which it was absolutely necessary to take some friend's life or other. But the calmness was artificially done, and the astonishment that did not appear in Ethelberta's tones was expressed by her gaze. Christopher was not in a mood to draw fine distinctions between recognized and unrecognized organs of speech. He replied to the eyes. "I own that your surprise is natural, apostrophe," he said, with an anxious look into her face, as if he wished to get beyond this interpolated scene to something more congenial and understood. "But my concern at such a history of yourself, since I last saw you, is even more natural than your surprise at my manner of breaking in." Apostrophe, apostrophe, that history would justify any conduct in one who hears it, apostrophe, yes, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if it were true, apostrophe, added Ethelberta, smiling. "But it is as false as apostrophe." She could name nothing notoriously false without raising an image of what was disagreeable, and she continued in a better manner. "The story I was telling is entirely a fiction, which I am getting up for a particular purpose very different from what appears at present. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am sorry there was such a misunderstanding, apostrophe," Christopher stammered, looking upon the ground uncertain and ashamed. "Yet I am not either, for I am very glad you have not undergone such trials, of course. But the fact is, I being in the neighborhood, I ventured to call on a matter of business, relating to a poem which I had the pleasure of setting to music at the beginning of the year." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Ethelberta was only a little less ill at ease than Christopher showed himself to be by this way of talking. "Will you walk slowly on?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said gently to the two young men, "and take the children with you. This gentleman wishes to speak to me on business." Apostrophe, apostrophe, the biggest young man caught up a little one under his arm, and plunged amid the boughs. Another little one lingered behind for a few moments, to look shyly at Christopher, with an oblique manner of hiding her mouth against her shoulder and her eyes behind her pinafore. Then she vanished. The boy and the second young man followed, and Ethelberta and Christopher stood within the woodbound circle alone. I hope I have caused no inconvenience by interrupting the proceedings, apostrophe said Christopher softly, but I so very much wish to see you. Apostrophe apostrophe, did you, indeed really wish to see me? Apostrophe apostrophe, she said gladly. Never mind inconvenience then. It is a word which seems shallow in meaning under the circumstances. I surely must say that a visit is to my advantage, must I not? I am not as I was, you see, and may receive as advantages what I used to consider as troubles. Apostrophe apostrophe, has your life really changed so much? Apostrophe apostrophe, it has changed. But what I first meant was that an interesting visitor at a wrong time is better than a stupid one at a right time. Apostrophe apostrophe, I had been behind the trees for some minutes, looking at you, and thinking of you, but what you were doing rather interrupted my first meditation. I had thought of a meeting in which we should continue our intercourse at the point at which it was broken off years ago, as if the omitted part had not existed at all. But something, I cannot tell what, has upset all that feeling, and apostrophe, I can soon tell you the meaning of my extraordinary performance. Apostrophe Ethelberta broke in quickly, and with a little trepidation. My mother-in-law, Lady Petherwin, is dead, and as he has left me nothing but her house and furniture in London more than I deserve, but less than as he had distinctly led me to expect, and so I am somewhat in a corner. Apostrophe apostrophe, it is always so. Apostrophe apostrophe, not always, I think. But this is how it happened. Lady Petherwin was very capricious. When she was not foolishly kind, she was unjustly harsh. A great many are like it, never thinking what a good thing it would be, instead of going on tacking from side to side between favor and cruelty, to keep to a mean line of common justice. And so we quarreled, and she, being absolute mistress of all her wealth, destroyed her will, that was in my favor, and made another, leaving me nothing but the fag end of the lease of the townhouse and the furniture in it. Then, when we were abroad, she turned to me again, forgave everything, and, becoming ill afterwards, wrote a letter to the brother, to whom as he had left the bulk of her property, stating that I was to have 20,000 of the 100,000 pounds as he had bequeathed to him as in the original will, doing this by letter in case anything should happen to her before a new will could be considered, drawn, and signed, and trusting to his honor quite, that he would obey her expressed wish should she die abroad. Well, she did die, in the full persuasion that I was provided for, but her brother, as I secretly expected all the time, refused to be morally bound by a document which had no legal value, and the result is that he has everything, except, of course, the furniture and the lease. It would have been enough to break the heart of a person who had calculated upon getting a fortune, which I never did. For I felt always like an intruder and a bondswoman, and had wished myself out of the Petherwin family 100 times, with my crust of bread and liberty. For one thing, I was always forbidden to see my relatives, and it pained me much. Now I am going to move for myself, and consider that I have a good chance of success in what I may undertake, because of an indifference I feel about succeeding which gives the necessary coolness that any great task requires. Apostrophe apostrophe, I presume you mean to write more poems? Apostrophe apostrophe, I cannot, that is, I can write no more that satisfy me. To blossom into rhyme on the sparkling pleasures of life, you must be under the influence of those pleasures, and I am at present quite removed from them, surrounded by gaunt realities of a very different description. Apostrophe apostrophe, then try the mournful. Trade upon your sufferings. Many do, and thrive. Apostrophe apostrophe, it is no use, to say that no use at all. I cannot write a line of verse, and yet the others flowed from my heart like a stream. But nothing is so easy as to seem clever when you have money. Apostrophe apostrophe, except to seem stupid when you have none, apostrophe said Christopher, looking at the dead leaves. Ethelberta allowed herself to linger on that thought for a few seconds, and continued. Then the question arose, what was I to do? I felt that to write prose would be an uncongenial occupation, and altogether a poor prospect for a woman like me. Finally, I have decided to appear in public. Apostrophe apostrophe, not on the stage? Apostrophe apostrophe, certainly not on the stage. There is no novelty in a poor lady turning actress, and novelty is what I want. Ordinary powers exhibited in a new way affect as much as extraordinary powers exhibited in an old way. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes so they do. And extraordinary powers, and a new way too, would be irresistible. Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't calculate upon both. I had written a prose story by request, when it was found that I had grown utterly in an oververse. It was written in the first person, and the style was modeled after Defoe's. The night before sending it off, when I had already packed it up, I was reading about the professional storytellers of Eastern countries, who devoted their lives to the telling of tales. I unfastened the manuscript and retained it, convinced that I should do better by telling the story. Apostrophe apostrophe, well thought of. Apostrophe apostrophe, exclaimed Christopher, looking into her face. There is a way for everybody to live, if they can only find it out. Apostrophe apostrophe, it occurred to me, apostrophe she continued, blushing slightly, that tales of the weird kind were made to be told, not written. The action of a teller is wanted to give due effect to all stories of incident. And I hope that a time will come when, as of old, instead of an unsocial reading of fiction at home alone, people will meet together cordially and sit at the feet of a professed romancer. I am going to tell my tales before a London public. As a child, I had a considerable power in arresting the attention of other children by recounting adventures which had never happened. And men and women are but children enlarged a little. Look at this. Apostrophe, she drew from her pocket a folded paper, shook it abroad, and disclosed a rough draft of an announcement to the effect that Mrs. Peterwin, professed storyteller, would devote an evening to that ancient form of the romancer's art, at a well-known fashionable hall in London. Now you see, apostrophe, she continued, the meaning of what you observed going on here. That you heard was one of three tales I am preparing, with a view of selecting the best. As a reserved one, I have the tale of my own life, to be played as a last card. It was a private rehearsal before my brothers and sisters, not with any view of obtaining their criticism, but that I might become accustomed to my own voice in the presence of listeners. Apostrophe apostrophe, if I only had had half your enterprise, what I might have done in the world. Apostrophe apostrophe, now did you ever consider what a power Defoe's manner would have, if practiced by word of mouth? Indeed, it is a style which suits itself infinitely better to telling than to writing, abounding as it does in colloquialisms, that are somewhat out of place on paper in these days, but have a wonderful power in making a narrative seem real. And so, in short, I am going to talk to Defoe on a subject of my own. Well? Apostrophe, the last word had been given tenderly, with a long-drawn sweetness, and was caused by a look that Christopher was bending upon her at the moment, in which he revealed that he was thinking less of the subject she was so eagerly and hopefully descanting upon than upon her aspect in explaining it. It is a fault of manner particularly common among men newly imported into the society of bright and beautiful women. And we will hope that, springing as it does from no unworthy source, it is as soon forgiven in the general world as it was here. I was only following a thought, apostrophe said Christopher. A thought of how I used to know you, and then lost sight of you, and then discovered you famous, and how we are here under these sad autumn trees, and nobody in sight. Apostrophe apostrophe, I think it must be tea time, apostrophe she said suddenly. Tea is a great meal with us here, you will join us, will you not? apostrophe apostrophe and Ethelberta began to make for herself a passage through the boughs. Another rustle was heard a little way off, and one of the children appeared. Emmeline wants to know, please, if the gentleman that come to see he will stay to tea, because, if so, she's a-going to put in another spoonful for him, and a bit of best green. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh Georgina, how candid. Yes, put in some best green. Apostrophe, before Christopher could say any more to her, they were emerging by the corner of the cottage, and one of the brothers drew near them. Apostrophe, Mr. Julian, you'll bide and have a cup of tea, why us? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he inquired of Christopher. An old friend of yours, is he not, Mrs. Peterwin? Dan and I be going back to Sandburn tonight, and we can walk with thee as far as the station. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I shall be delighted, apostrophe, said Christopher, and they all entered the cottage. The evening had grown clearer by this time. The sun was peeping out just previous to departure, and sent gold wires of light across the glades and into the windows, throwing a pattern of the diamond quarries, and outlines of the geraniums in pots, against the opposite wall. One end of the room was polygonal, such a shape being dictated by the exterior design. In this part the windows were placed, as at the east end of continental churches. Thus, from the combined effects of the ecclesiastical lancet lights, and the apsidal shape of the room, it occurred to Christopher that the sisters were all a delightful set of pretty saints, exhibiting themselves in the Lady Chapel, and backed up by unkempt major prophets, as represented by the forms of their big brothers. Christopher sat down to tea as invited, squeezing himself in between two children whose names were almost as long as their persons, and whose tin cups discoursed primitive music by means of spoons rattled inside them until they were filled. The tea proceeded pleasantly, notwithstanding that the cake, being a little burnt, tasted on the outside like the latter plums in snapdragon. Christopher never could meet the eye of Picotty, who continued in a wild state of flushing all the time, fixing her looks upon the sugar basin, except when she glanced out of the window, to see how the evening was going on, and speaking no word at all, unless it was to correct a small sister of somewhat crude manners as regards filling the mouth, which Picotty did in a whisper, and a gentle inclination of her mouth to the little one's ear, and a still deeper blush than before. Their visitor next noticed that an additional cup and saucer and plate made their appearance occasionally at the table, were silently replenished, and then carried off by one of the children to an inner apartment. Our mother is bedridden, apostrophe said Ethelberta, noticing Christopher's look at the proceeding. Emmeline attends to the household, except when Picotty is at home, and Joey attends to the gate. But our mother's affliction is a very unfortunate thing for the poor. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.